Okay, I've been preaching a familiar section of Scripture, one that's much abused and misunderstood, it seems, by the religious world. But in John 3, where Nicodemus comes to speak to the Lord and begins by saying some nice things to him, said, "Oh, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God." And the Lord looks right at him, cuts to the quick, and says, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus was a great religious leader. He thought he knew a bunch of stuff, but as it goes on here, it's evident he actually knew very little. And he sought to be a teacher, but he hadn't yet learned. And the Lord said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. And except he be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. He has to be born of the water." That speaks of the natural birth, not of magical baptism that a lot of the Romanists and Protestants teach. He's born of the water and of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit of God. There must be that second birth if one is to enter the kingdom of God. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. And Nicodemus, this great religious leader, if we get down to chapter 3 and verse 7, is kind of sitting there with his mouth open. And the Lord says to him, "Marvel not." Don't be surprised, Nicodemus. "I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Then most preachers today will tell people what they got to do to make that happen. You can't do anything. It's God that does it. It's accomplished by the Spirit of God. And the Lord makes that abundantly clear as he goes on. He says, "The wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." The Lord didn't beg Nicodemus to make a decision, to do something. The Lord said, "Look, it's of the Spirit. It's the second birth is of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered, this great religious leader says, Nicodemus answered verse 9 and said unto him, "How can these things be? How could this possibly be? This isn't what I was taught growing up. This isn't what we believe. How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? You're a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? You don't understand these things, and yet it's abundantly clear in the Old Testament that God alone can make a man a child of God, that a man needs a new heart. He needs to be born again." It's the way it always was. It's the way it was in the Old Testament. Nicodemus was a Jew. He only had the Old Testament. And yet, in the Old Testament, we find that it's God that must do it. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6, And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all that thou mayest live. God has to do that work. Man doesn't love God. Can beg. Well, you just need to start loving God. You can't do that. You're dead. You're an enemy. Ezekiel, Lord says, "I will cleanse you." Ezekiel 36, verse 26. The Lord says, "A new heart also will I give you." He didn't say you need to do some more sacrifices. You need to get baptized. No, a new heart will I give you. God says, "I will give you a heart of flesh." And then the Lord goes on. I think I left off here last week. I was hoping maybe I'd finish this week. Maybe I won't. But verse 11. The Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," saying this to you, Nicodemus. Various times the Lord there speaks to Nicodemus as an individual, thee. And he speaks ye, speaking of the Pharisees and those that he represents. You won't find that clearly in all the other perversions of Scripture, because they've thrown out the ye's and the these, and they say they're confusing. No! They make things more abundantly clear. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify what we have seen. And ye, say all you Pharisees, plural, and ye receive not our witness. God sent Christ. Christ became a man. He spoke those things that were true, those things that he knew. The religious world wouldn't receive them. Ye receive not our witness. Nicodemus was religious. Nicodemus was brilliant. Nicodemus was tremendously educated. But he was dead. He was dead in trespasses and sin. The Lord said in John 10, verse 26, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Saw a fellow posted this week something about God doesn't turn goats into sheep. Goats can't become sheep. The sheep are brought to Christ. They're lost sheep, but the sheep are those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. You say, well, how do you know who they are? I don't. The Lord does. The Lord says he knows those that are his. And all those that are his, he will bring unto himself. If the Lord has quickened you and brought you to embrace him, you can have confidence that you're one of his sheep. You believe not because you're not of my sheep. Never do you see the Lord begging somebody to become a sheep. Make a decision to become a sheep. What kind of sense does that make? Talking to a dead man and say, take the first step, God will do the rest. He's dead. He's dead. It has to be done by God, and all the glory goes to him. Then the Lord continues in verse 12. He says, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? You know, Nicodemus, for all his education, for all of his religious background, he couldn't comprehend these things. He could not grasp these things. Lord said, I'm telling you the earthly things that you can't even comprehend. What if I were to tell you heavenly things? Well, the Scripture tells us, and we'll talk more about it, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You can talk to your blue in the face, and he'll not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Some folks think, and again, I believe we ought to proclaim the truth to whoever the Lord gives us opportunity. But don't think, well, man, if I just did a better job, then they would get saved. You know, Jack Hiles and all those folks. Jack Hiles used to say, you know, give me 15 minutes and I can get any man saved. Really? Really? I don't think the Lord knew anything about that. Well, I said, Nicodemus, you can't understand these things. You receive not these things. He's incapable. And then the Lord goes on, verse 13, and no man ascendeth up to heaven but he that came down from heaven. Jesus Christ came down from heaven. God became a man. That's not true of anyone else who was born into this world. We weren't in heaven and came down. But Christ did, because he was God. And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus Christ was omnipresent. He never ceased being God. He never ceased having the attributes of God, and yet he took on all of our frailties without our sins. Christ had the authority to speak of these spiritual matters. He had the authority to speak of these spiritual matters with an absolute assurance, because he came down from heaven. Because he was the one that had ordained these things. And then the Lord goes on in verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, this isn't a call for you to work up some kind of belief in yourself. It's an assurance that if you believe, that belief came from God. And those who are believing, this is a description here, whosoever's believing, literally is what that says there, whosoever's believing in him should not perish but have eternal life. The Lord's brought you to hear and to embrace this because he's done the work. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ died for his people. He died for the world of his people. He died for, if you look in the context here, it's those whosoever believeth. It's those whosoever believeth the scripture that he died for. It's those that the Spirit has quickened and given life and given the gifts of repentance and faith. I was going to take some time and go look at what Brother Pink had to say about the world, but I'll try to deal with it a little bit quicker and maybe not take up the time this time we go through. But the Lord here uses says, for God so loved the world. And you know what all these Arminian preachers say? Well, that world means everybody without exception. That just means everybody. Everybody, everybody, everybody. That's what that word world means. Well, yeah, until you start comparing Scripture with Scripture. Until you start looking at that word, which is in the Greek, is cosmos. And you find out that you can really only understand the meaning of that word by its context. You don't understand the meaning of that word by how it's used. Christ died for his people. He died for the whosoever's of Scripture. Just quickly, like Brother Pink points out, you can look it up online. I wrote down Brother Pink's thoughts, but Brother Pink has a little booklet called The Meaning of Cosmos, which is world, in John 3:16. And he points out that word is used variously in Scripture. People say that word world always means everybody without exception. Sometimes it's used of the universe as a whole. Acts 7, verse 24, God made the whole world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth. God made the whole universe. That word cosmos is used, it really speaks of an order. That's what the essence of cosmos is. It's used of the universe as of a whole. It's used of the earth. John 13, verse 1, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. Christ was going to depart out of this world. He was going to be sacrificed. That word cosmos there is used to refer to the earth. The Lord would leave the earth. Ephesians, we're told, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Cosmos. We were chosen before the world was established, before the earth was formed. Job asks in Job 38:4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You think you know so much? Obviously, it's not cosmos in the Old Testament, but it's the Hebrew equivalent, which was Eretz. But where were you when I laid the foundations of the world, of the earth? Cosmos is used as well, in its sense, again, as an order or a system. It's used of the world system. John 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now, obviously, the word there doesn't mean everybody without exception. It speaks of the world system. The judgment's come to this world. And it's coming, folks. Just look around. It's fast approaching. I don't mean this flippant, but everybody's pretty fortunate. Oh, my God. I would have done finished this place off. But God's patient. He's got his plan. It's perfect. It's better than mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world, speaking of the devil, be cast out. Matthew 4 and verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. That word cosmos. Again, that's another meaning of it. The system of the world, the political system of the world, the geopolitical realm. 1 John 5:19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in witness. The whole world. The whole world system. Sometimes it's used of the whole human race. In Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may be guilty before God. That's everybody. The whole world will be guilty before God. But other places, that same word, world, that Greek word cosmos, that we find in John 3:16, is used of all of humanity except for the believers. In John 15 and verse 18, but the world hates you. The world hates you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. It's not speaking of all men without exception. It's speaking of the unbelieving world. If the world hates you, Romans 3 and verse 6 says, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? We've already been judged at Calvary's cross. But the unbelieving world will be judged by God. First Corinthians 3 and verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The believer's works are judged, not the believer. The believer was already judged on Calvary's cross. Our sins were already judged. Those things we do in the name of Christ will be judged. That was our sins were judged on Calvary's cross. John 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Those that hear the word. You know what? Dead men are deaf. Dead men are blind. But the Spirit give life. He cannot hear. He cannot believe. Romans 8:1. Now there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, the world is often used of the world of the unbelievers. If the world hates you, You're not speaking of believers. Not speaking of every man without exception. He's speaking of unbelievers. Sometimes that word cosmos, world, is used of the Gentiles in contrast to the Jews. It does not, every place you see it, mean everybody without exception. That's what the Arminians try to argue. That's what they try to tell you. They don't look at Scripture in its entirety. Scripture must interpret in Scripture. You must understand the words of Scripture by how they're used throughout Scripture, and then in the context in which they're used. Cosmos is used of the Gentiles, contrasted to the Jews. Romans 10, verse 21. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And then down in chapter 11, verse 10, says, let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them, he's speaking of the Jews, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, he's speaking of the Gentiles, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of the riches of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Here, the word world is excluding Israel. Quite often, as I think we understand here as well, cosmos is used of believers only. The next day John seeth Jesus coming and saith unto him, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Speaking of the believing world, if Christ took away the sins of everybody without exception, everybody without exception would be saved. It's that simple. And yet the Arminians want to argue, well, it means everybody without exception. It means you get a chance. Brother, you don't want a chance. You want mercy. You want grace. Sins are not taken away if they're to be judged for them. We read elsewhere it says he's going to judge the world. How is it that their sins have been taken away? They're going to be punished for them. How is it that they were taken away? And again, here in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, his elect, men of every country, of every culture, of every race. He loved that world of believers. That whosoever believeth him, who's believing in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, these are descriptions. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, the world's already condemned. Christ didn't come to condemn the world. They're already condemned. He came into the world to save those that were given unto him. John 6, verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life, giveth life unto the world. Gives it to his people, to his elect, to those who were chosen before the foundation of the world. Again, we see the word world used to of those contrasted in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 19. And I think that God hath sent forth us, the apostles, last, as we were appointed unto death, that we are made a spectacle unto the world. 2 Corinthians 5, 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. His chosen people, those that are his, those that are brought to believe, that to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. If that means something other than the elect of God, those who are brought to embrace Him, then it means no one has their sins imputed to them. No, the world is already in condemnation. Those that are reconciled unto Him are the elect, the redeemed, the believer. And so, Brother Pink points out at least seven different possible meanings to the word cosmos and world throughout the New Testament, and various shades and differentiations of them. We have to study. We have to compare Scripture to Scripture. Scripture is the very best commentary of Scripture, I've often said. You know, if you've got cross references, those are good things to follow. Though somebody decided which those were. Sometimes you've got to do a little deeper digging and find out what verses cross-reference other verses. Strong's Concordance, you can look up world there and you can see every place that it appears in the New Testament. Go there and read every place it appears in the New Testament. No way you'll come away from that and saying, well, the world always means everybody without exception. Obviously, it does not. We love Him because He first loved us. Again, it's not of all men without exception, but all men without distinction. God has a people. I don't know who they are. Paul was a proud Jew. He didn't think real highly of the Gentiles, at least at one point in his life, but he was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. We read over in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9, and this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Multitude that no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. That's the world of the believers, the world of the elect. Not men without exception, but men without distinction. Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou hast was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. God endures those vessels of wrath, but He loves His own. And John 16 is speaking of that world, those elect that were given to Christ. Again, if we continue on verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The world was already condemned. Christ didn't come here to condemn the world. They were already condemned. They fell in Adam. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that's believing on Him, again, that's descriptive. It shows what God has wrought. He that believeth, and literally the ETH there tells you it's a continuing verb, so it's he that is believing on Him. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Christ didn't come into the world to condemn the world, it was condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those who don't believe manifest their election of God remain in their condemnation. And the Lord goes on, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men reject Christ because they're dead in trespasses and sin. They reject Christ because they love darkness. Folks say, well, that's not, you aren't fair. No, you loved darkness. You loved darkness. That's what you wanted. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men love their evil deeds. You look about, oh yeah. You know what? This is my birthday month. You all thought it was Pride Month, didn't you? God help you all. Not you all, but... Ain't Pride Month. There reads what the Scripture has to say about pride and what God thinks about that. I don't know how I got off on that. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this, oh, that men love darkness, and this is the condemnation, light's come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It doesn't even make sense. It's against nature. Well, you can't say that stuff. It hurts people's feelings. They need to get their feelings hurt and more. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light. They hate Christ. They hate the light. They hate the truth. They don't want to hear it. They want to stamp it out. And if you dare speak it, they'll try to cancel you. And if that doesn't work, eventually they'll eliminate you one way or the other. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light. Now he cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. Man, does that not speak to today? So you can't say anything like that. You might hurt somebody's feelings. Their deeds might get reproved. Their perversions might be exposed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. That's the work of God. Those that are born again, it's what the Lord's talking here in context, except a man be born again. Those that are born again, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they, look here, are wrought in God. It's God that does it. I said I had a fellow this week tell me how happy he was, how appreciative he was of all I do and what I come. I said, I don't do anything. I'm nothing. What I am by the grace of God. That they are wrought in God. Whatever I am, and it ain't much, it's by the grace of God. Whatever I do, and it ain't much, it's by the grace of God. Are wrought in God. Those who are in Christ manifest their God-given repentance and faith. Brings them to faith. They're quickened. They're given the gifts of repentance and faith. They embrace the gospel of their salvation. With, as we've been studying in Galatians, with the faith of Christ. Read Galatians. The faith of Christ. Not my faith. Now, it becomes mine because it's given to me as a gift. But it's the faith of Christ that saves us, not human faith. Lord said in John 6:37, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Down in verse 39 of John 6. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Christ will not lose any. All of his will come to him. He knows those that are his. John 17. Could read several verses there, but I'll look just a couple. John 17, verse 6. And I have manifested thy name unto the men. Listen here. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. So here the elect are contrasted to the rest of the cosmos, the rest of the world. I made known your name to those that you gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. They have kept thy word. Down in verse 8, John 17. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And then, verse 9, here's what the Lord has to say about the world, and he's here speaking of the unbelieving world, but he uses that same word, cosmos. John 17, verse 9, I pray for them. What's the them? Look up at verse 6, those that he was given out of the world. I pray not for the world. What? I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And then the Lord, again, uses that same word in a slightly different context, the shade, because we're still here in this world, this world system, down in verse 11 of chapter 17 of John. And now I am no more in the world. I'm no more in the earth, the cosmos, this cosmos. But they are in the world. Those that you gave me out of the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those which thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Those that are his are brought to him. Psalmist says in Psalm 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. God gives that willingness. Thy people shall be willing. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given. It is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Unto you it is given to believe. Those that believe are the chosen of God, or the elect of God, those that were given out of the world. And thus, I kind of wrapped that up, maybe too quick, but there in John 3, we see the truth, as opposed to what the world would have us believe, that Christ came and he died for everybody without exception so that everybody would get a chance. Now, I don't see chance in there anywhere. I see the Lord describing those that are his, those that are quickened by the Spirit, those that are believing by the grace of God. I don't see him telling Nicodemus, here Nicodemus is how you can get saved. It's not in there, but Billy Graham found it in there. And all these modern preachers, they try to find it in there. And they'll tell you, you got to do something, you got to walk an aisle, and you got to make a decision. Nowhere does the Lord say anything about that. Nowhere. I tell you what you best do is trust in God. Trust in God. And if he's brought you to realize your need, that you cast yourself on him. He's the one that gives repentance and faith. And those that are believing are his. It's not their believing that made them his, but it's their believing that shows them to be his, that manifests them to be his. Those that are believing are his. We should take comfort from that and trust in that. Folks worry about, well, I don't know if I said the right things or did the right things. I've heard people say that. Maybe I need to do it again. Now, if it's something dependent on what you had to do or what you did, it's not good enough. It's not going to work. But if it's what he did, John 19, the Lord says, it is finished. It's finished. You can rest in that. And we can rest and trust in him. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 399, Hide Thou Me. 399, Hide Thou Me. you like, you can stand as we sing it out this morning. Father, we thank you for this day, the privilege to gather as your people. Father, we thank you for each one that's here. We pray your hand upon them. Pray you might work in lives and hearts. You might draw those that are yours to yourself. Father, we thank you for the assurance that those who are believing are yours, that you manifest it in their lives and hearts, that you draw them to yourself. Father, we thank you that it's not dependent on anything in us, but it's your doing. Father, we pray by your grace that we might remain faithful. For we know it's all of thee, but at the same time, we must strive. We must endure. Father, help us to be witnesses and testimonies as we go about our lives, to manifest whose we are to all that are about us. Thank you, Lord, for your eternal love. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit. Thank you for our Savior and His completed atonement. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.